Blog Talk Radio.
The following has taken place during Total Sports Live.
Another edition of Total Sports Live podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. And always thank you to the guys over at BuzzOnBroad.com and the Broad Spectrum Sports Network. You might be changing that soon. Details come later. But we got a great show for you today as I bring you another NFL draft prospect podcast. We were with you on Wednesday when we were talking to John Robertson of Virginia University of Lynchburg, and we're going to bring on another guest coming up in a quick second. But first, let's bring on my co-host, the one and only Angela Montoni of BuzzOnBroad.com. Angela, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm very excited to bring on our guest. This is the first show we ever did with a guest, me and you. So this one should be fun.
Yes, let's get to it.
All right, let's bring him on from Princeton University, quarterback Epperly, 2015 NFL draft prospect. Quinn, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks again for coming on tonight's podcast. I know it's a little late, it's 11 o'clock for a lot of people. You might be watching the Grammys, but thanks again for coming on to the show tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's before we get into all the details about your game, you know, the Ivy League and all that sort, just give the listeners a quick introduction about yourself, who you are, and you know, your career at Princeton University.
Or could you say that again?
Give the listeners an introduction about yourself and your career at Princeton, pretty much.
So I'm originally from Knoxville, Tennessee. Was, you know, coming up to Princeton, wasn't too highly recruited out of high school, but was lucky enough to end up at such a good university. You know, was able to play some my freshman year, split time my sophomore year, and then went into my junior year splitting time again, and then about halfway through the year kind of took over the starting job, and then my junior year was really my breakout season. I was awarded Ivy League Player of the Year that year, and then senior year, kind of had a lot of injury struggles. I ended up having turf toe in both feet, and it really kind of took me out of play for the second half of the season. But now I'm healthy. Just got done playing in the Gridiron Showcase down in Texas, and now just trying to, you know, achieve my dreams and make an NFL team.
Yeah, definitely. I read about you being at the College Gridiron Showcases. Heard of a lot of good talent there, especially from the FCS ranks. But let's talk about the FCS ranks. Your school, Princeton, is part of the Ivy League. It's kind of different than the other FCSs in which they go to a playoff. But you guys, you fight for something that's very dear and near to your heart, which is the Ivy League title, which is a very big title, and especially in college football, it's very sacred. I went to see earlier this season. I went to go see Penn and I went to go see UPenn play here in Philadelphia. And they're a pretty good squad. But just talk about the Ivy League and how it's different from the other FCS conferences in particular.
Yeah, like you said, you know, we're not allowed to participate in postseason. I kind of, you know, wish that they would change that rule. But it's just a 10-game season. It's straight through. There's no bye weeks, so we actually are usually done the weekend before Thanksgiving. Players get to go home for Thanksgiving, and it's just you win the Ivy League outright just purely by your record in conference. And there can be ties. There's been several ties before. But regardless, there's no championship game and no playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And as you say, you know, I wish you guys were the Ivy League was included in the playoffs, because you guys definitely have a lot of great teams in the past years. Your Princeton team, Dartmouth, Yale, Columbia, Cornell, you know, UPenn, all you guys have got pretty good teams and definitely could compete with anybody in the other FCS conferences, I believe, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, probably the top couple teams in the Ivy League, I think, would definitely be able to compete and do more than hold their own in the playoff bracket. I really kind of wish that we get a shot at it. But, you know, it's just kind of the rules and something that, you know, coming in is how it is.
Definitely. Yeah, we have 23 minutes left in the podcast, and we're joined by Princeton University quarterback Quinn Epperle on the Total Sports Live podcast here tonight. And I'm going to turn over to my co-host, Angela. She had a couple questions for you. Angela, take it away.
Hi, Quinn.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I just, like, you know, you had a couple injuries in your last season, but, I mean, your numbers are pretty stellar for your junior year. Would you say that's the most indicative of your skills, or you think you still have like an upward mobility from where you were at that point? I mean, you had like between rushing and passing touchdowns, you had 43 that season, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, you said, dude, I think I have upward mobility from that.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that's like the most accurate portrayal of your skill set, or do you think that, you know, you can still do better than even that?
I think I can do a lot better, to be honest. I think I'm still progressing as a passer, especially my in-pocket game. Especially my junior year, I was used in a lot of different roles. We actually would do quarterback sets where we would have two and three quarterbacks on the field. And so a lot of that time I'd line up at running back, receiver, and they would kind of have me moving all over the field with the ball. I still think that I can develop even greater as a passer, as an in-pocket passer, and really just think I'm kind of tapping in on my potential.
See, you very, very rarely throw interceptions. So, I mean, I think that's great that you say you can still improve as a passer when you've never thrown for more than 5 interceptions in a season. So, I mean, that's actually really encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, I think a large part of that, I think, was I think one of my strong suits is being able to make reads, read defenses, and know where I'm going with the ball. I think that, you know, led to a low number in interceptions, like you were saying. But, yeah, I think I can definitely still improve. I think that is, you know, one thing I'm kind of telling NFL teams about, that, you know, I think if they bring me in, I am a guy that, you know, we'll make good decisions with the ball and be able to pick up an offense quickly. So I'm just really hoping for the chance.
Where would you like to play? If you had your dream team to draft you.
If I had my dream team, you know, really any team that would take me, I'd feel more than blessed to play. But I know my college offense was similar to Chip Kelly's system. So I think, you know, that would be probably a pretty good fit as far as my college game translating over to his system. So I'd say that would probably be my top pick. But like I said, anyone that's willing to take me, I'd be more than happy to come in and try to give everything to that organization.
Well, that's encouraging.
Definitely. Great questions, Angela. Great questions. We have about 20 minutes left on the podcast, and Angela talked a lot about your game, Quinn, and you know, and a lot of players have been successful coming out of the Ivy League, especially quarterbacks. You know, we got Jay Feeler when he played for the Dolphins with Dartmouth. Jason Garrett went to Princeton and Columbia. And then you have Jeff Matthews from Cornell, who I'm pretty sure you had your battles against through your seasons at Princeton playing against him. He's now, I think last time I checked, signed a deal. And I want to say Canada with Edmonton. And now we have Ryan, and the most famous one of them all is Ryan Fitzpatrick, dude from Harvard, got picked up, started with the Rams, now with Buffalo, now with Houston. So so talk about the successes of the Ivy League quarterback in the NFL and how that kind of like helps you in almost if they're like to break the stigma that Ivy League quarterbacks, just because we play in a smaller conference, we can still play professional football at a high level.
Right. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with that, especially at the quarterback spot, that you're getting a smart guy. So, I mean, none of those guys that you just mentioned were probably top draft picks. They were probably guys that were brought in to be a backup spot, compete for a starting spot. But really in the NFL, from people I've talked to, it's all about how quickly you can come in and learn an offense. I mean, you can get – there's plenty of guys that can probably, you know, throw – better than me, run better than me, do athletically what I can do, but it's really whether or not you can come in and you can learn the mental aspect and pick up the mental aspect quickly, because that's what, especially with, you know, a free agent spot or a low-level draft guy, they want you to be able to come in and pick it up very quickly, and if you can't do that, then you know, they're going to find someone else that can. So I think that it just stems from, you know, they're getting smart guys that are able to do that, and I think that the competition's good enough in the Ivy League that it can translate over to the NFL and guys are able to have some success.
No, you're definitely right about that, because, you know, Jason Garrett, as you mentioned, Jason Garrett, especially Ryan Fitzpatrick, like you said, you know, being able to come in and pick up offense, these guys weren't starters, like you said, and, you know, for you guys, you know, you said you're smart, so you can come right in and pick up and learn the information. That's what we've seen, especially Ryan Fitzpatrick, do over his career with St. Louis, with Buffalo, with Tennessee, and then with Houston this past season, just pick up the offense and just go. So I definitely agree with you on that and how that's a benefit for you guys, and especially Ivy League quarterback. I have a question, though. When I was watching your film, I was very impressed on how you played the game, how you deciphered the plays, how you basically was able to almost pick apart defenses. And one of the things, and Angela brought this up, and you brought it up about you guys ran multiple offenses at Princeton, and you brought this up. How was it playing in that offense where you were sometimes lined up at quarterback and sometimes you're in the backfield? Because I was watching the film, I'm looking there, I'm like, there's like three quarterbacks in the backfield, but I don't know which one's the ball going to. How tough is it for a defensive game plan for that type of offensive scheme, and how fun was it playing in that type of offense?
It was a blast. I mean, I think it, you know, definitely if you look at the numbers wise, our junior year it worked a little better, mainly because I couldn't run for most of the second half of my senior year, but junior especially, it was a blast. I mean, I just think it really just let me be more than a quarterback, but a football player. You know, they would hand it to me and I could throw it after. They handed it to me. Like you said, I would line up a receiver. So it was definitely a really fun offense to play in. I think my offense coordinator did a great job of working the strengths of his players, of his quarterbacks. And I think as a defense that, you know, we will usually throw in a wrinkle every week that you have to game plan for. And I think, you know, just with the rules of how much you can practice, there's only so many hours that they can put into preparation. I just think it would give some defensive coordinators some nightmares about everything they had a game plan for.
Mm-hmm. Definitely agree with that. We have about 15 minutes left in the podcast. We're here joined by Quint Epperly, QB from Princeton University and 2015 NFL Draft prospect, here with us on the Total Sports Live podcast. I'm going to turn it back over to my co-host, Angela Montoni, for a couple more questions for you. Take it away, Angela.
You're on top of the ranks pretty much in every single category in Princeton history. Like, how does that feel? And you're fourth in total plays, third in offense, second in rush touchdown, second in pass touchdown. Your first interception percentage, which is unreal. I mean, your 2013 season, you had 208 completions to 3 interceptions. That's unheard of, man. That's nasty.
Yeah, I mean, I was just very, very blessed to, you know, have the success I had, especially that year. But, yeah, you know, it's just an honor to be able to be mentioned with some of the greats or be thought of as one of the greats that played here. And, yeah, I just feel very honored and blessed to be mentioned as such.
Okay. All physical things aside, like, obviously you do training and stuff, but, like, how do you mentally prepare for the combine? Like, what do you – like, do you have any, like, weird, like, routines or anything that, like, just kind of, like, gets you, like, in a decent mental place where you can – go out and perform to be evaluated?
Well, I'm actually not going to the combine. I didn't receive an invite for the combine, but just as far as like pro days and things like that, I don't really have many things I do. I guess before games, I guess sometimes I'll listen to worship music. I just try to stay as calm as possible before games. I like to go out with just with a clear head and. Sometimes, you know, not get too overexcited for games, but just know exactly what I have to do and trust in the preparation and the film work that I put in all throughout the week.
That sounds as you in Angela brought up, very good, very good, very good numbers and very good percentages. And I'm glad Angela brought up your, you know, as you said, you're preparing for the draft and stuff. And one process before it, the preparing for the draft was the college gridiron showcase that happened down in, I think it was Texas, I believe, but I'm not too sure. Talk about that experience and how it was playing in an all-star game with a bunch of, you know, great players too, and being surrounded by all that talent. How did it feel?
It was an awesome opportunity. I think it helped me especially just because being from a small school and being hurt my senior year and not putting up the numbers I did my junior year, my name wasn't as high on people's radars as it was after my junior year. So just getting down there, being surrounded by a lot of talent and just being able to go out there and compete and show that, you know, I can hang with talented players and the guys that are about to get drafted, you know, when I was healthy. And it was an awesome experience and a lot of fun to play in the game and meet a bunch of guys. And just be able to say that I was invited to something like that it was just a really cool experience.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't have the chance to watch the game. I wish I could because I'm very interested. I saw a couple of YouTube videos about it and really piqued my interest, especially when I saw your name involved in there, especially how bit of a solid quarterback and frame you have. When talking to scouts, have you received any kind of comparison? Like they say you play like this, or who would you say you compare your game to as a quarterback?
I mean, a lot of people would compare my game to how they use Tim Tebow at Florida. You know, whenever we get down by the goal line, usually I would touch the ball a lot. I was kind of like our goal line back. Short yard situations, I would get the ball in the middle a lot. And you know, I know he kind of – we're both lefties and we were both kind of bigger quarterbacks. But, you know, with that, I know that kind of associates itself with, you know, some inaccurate throwing. And so just trying to prove that I can throw also and that I'm not just a guy that can run, but I can sit in the pocket and make all the throws I need to make.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely understand it because when I was watching your film, that's the first name I thought of when I saw you play, your mold, your build, how you was able to just move in the offense. I was like, this guy reminds me almost of Tim Tebow, just the way how he played and how, you know, he's just not a strong quarterback. He's mobile. He's a mobile quarterback. As per se, and it's all right. I understand about being left-handed because I'm left-handed too, so I understand how that goes. We have about 10 minutes left here on the on the podcast, and talk about your strengths and weaknesses. If you had, like, what would you say is your strongest strength? If you were talking to an NFL GM and they say to you, "So Quinn, what's your biggest strength and what's your biggest weakness that you need to work on through this whole draft process?"
I'd say my biggest strength is just my ability to read defenses and pick up a system. Mm-hmm. I think that you can plug me in somewhere and I'm going to be able to do that quickly, and I'll be able to perform at a high level with it. Also, I think that with a lot of the problems you have in the NFL, I'm not a guy that's going to be a risk to bring in. Like, I'm not going to be a guy that's a problem on or off the field, but that you can bring in and know that I'm going to give everything I have to that organization and, you know, really lay my body on the line. So with those things, I think that I would say those are that, along with, my accuracy would be well, this is my strength. And then weaknesses, I would just say that I haven't played in a pro-style offense. My college and high school offense was a spread, fast-tempoed offense, so that I haven't, you know, really had to learn the verbiage or play in a pro-style offense. But from what I experienced down at the Grand Showcase, we did more of a pro-style and a lot more under center, and I was able to pick up everything very quickly and really, really had no problems running the offense.
Yeah, definitely, and I would agree with you. I think you have the ability, and I think that you, I think you can be an NFL quarterback and play in the NFL with no problems. That's just me speaking. You know, it's probably a million other scouts that probably say something different than I do, but I truly believe that you can play in the NFL offense and do wonders for an NFL team in a backup or starter role. I think you can fit either mold for an NFL team. 7 minutes left here on the podcast, and before I end it off, we're going to turn it back over to Angela for one more question here on the podcast. So, Angela, take it away.
Okay, so I got a couple mock drafts that I have open, and you are actually ranked at 26th in the position. So, I mean, there are some people that get drafted and it's a real big blow to their ego if they're drafted to be a backup, and then some people really revel in it and then become great starters. How do you see yourself if you get drafted in that role, like to be a backup and then have to work your way up?
That'd be fine with me. I know that I'm not projected as a top-round pick or anything, so that if a team were to take me, that would be kind of the role that I would be thrown into is probably coming in as a backup. And then one thing that I just pride myself on is competing. And so anywhere I go, that I'm going to compete for that job and try to better myself and keep pushing everyone around me. But I also think that if I am brought in and used in a backup role, that because of my mobility and because I can do things athletically that not every quarterback can do, that I can provide some looks that that not every quarterback can. I think I can provide, you know, a scout team look for a guy like Russell Wilson that runs around, that moves the pocket and things like that. So I think that with that, you know, whatever role I'm asked to come into, that I think I can do.
And that brand of quarterback has actually been proven pretty valuable in the past couple of years.
Right.
All right, Angela, thanks for your question. We have about 5 minutes left on the podcast, and let's wrap it up here. So we're talking to Quinn Epperly, Princeton quarterback, 2015 NFL draft prospect as well. So, Quinn, what's going to be the next few months for you heading up to the draft and then afterwards? I mean, this is it's a long road. But for somebody like you, this is going to be a journey. But for you, what's the process for the next couple of months? Training and what else is going to be happening for you?
I'm still in school, so I'm set to graduate in June or early June. And so just going to class and then training as much as I can. I'm going to be training a little bit at Parisi Speed School down in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. And then, so just doing that. And then our pro day at Princeton is March 10th. And then it's not confirmed yet, but hopefully trying to maybe receive an invite to the University of Tennessee's pro day, just because that's like 15 minutes. That's within like 15 minutes of where I live back in Knoxville, Tennessee. And mm-hmm. So you're allowed to go to anyone's pro day that is in like the metropolitan area of either your university or your hometown. So if I were able to go to that, that'd also be a huge thing, just because of probably the number of scouts that attend those, like, you know, the big SEC schools. So I'm just really trying to get in front of many NFL personnel as possible, and then just see what happens with the draft and afterwards.
Definitely. It all sounds like great plans. Before I follow end off on our last question of the show for tonight, I just want to say also congratulations on about to graduate from college. I know that's a big accomplishment. I'm graduating from college. Angela has too. So we both
yes,
like to say congratulations. We both like
thank
to say congratulations on graduating.
Yes, congratulations, Quinn.
Thank you.
So last question, Quinn, on the podcast is, we've been asking this question to a lot of prospects. What motivates you, you know, to play the game? What motivates you every Saturday, especially for you guys, what motivates you every Saturday, like, to go play out on a big stage, especially like the Ivy League, colleges and universities, rivalries and traditions. The Ivy League has a ton of traditions that span for many years, about over 100 years. So what motivates you to play the game of football and continue to play it, to become an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, I just think it's the whole process of playing the game. I think it's just everything that football offers you is just an unbelievable opportunity. Through my life, it is greatly improved, you know, things I've been able to do and things I've been able to accomplish because of football. And really just the whole process of training, of playing, of being able to compete, of making the friendships and relationships along the way. There's just honestly nothing else that I can think of that would be greater than to be able to play for an NFL team. And I think it's a lot of little kids' dreams, and just to have the possibility to potentially live it out would just be an unbelievable experience.
Definitely. And I know me and Angela definitely going to be keeping tabs on your name to see where you end up in the spring, because we definitely both think you should play in the NFL. And hopefully you end up in Philadelphia, because that would be pretty cool to say. That'd be pretty cool to see you running in Chip Kelly's offense. I know I would get I would get excitement watching you run that offense.
Thank you.
So hopefully we see you in Philadelphia. But we definitely do want to have you back on the podcast throughout this journey, because we feel like the Quinn Eppley story is just getting started. We feel like the journey is just getting started for you. So we definitely would like to have you back on the show coming up in the next couple of few months and a few weeks. Leave it to the draft.
Absolutely. Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Quinn, for calling in. We appreciate it, and have a good night.
Yeah, thanks again, Quinn.
So that was Quinn Epperly of Princeton University, 2015 NFL draft prospect. I know I can speak for me and Angela, and we definitely think this guy can play in the NFL. Right, Angela? He can play.
Yeah, I think he's got the stuff. A nice kid, real nice kid.
Right, definitely real nice and real humble and grounded, you know. And I like that question that you brought up about, you know, coming in and coming out of college, being a starter or working your way up as a backup. It seems like him, he would just be the ultimate team player. I'll come in and fill whatever role you need me to do, scout team, backup, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And there's rooms on NFL rosters for this type of guy.
Yeah.
And we have about 34 seconds left on the podcast, but before we go, I just want to say we have a big update, big breaking news coming from TSL. Total Sports Live is going to be having a new home, not the broadcast, not the podcast, but actually the website. In a couple of days, probably in a few days, well, a couple of days ago, we were accepted to the Blog One Network, so in a couple of days or a few weeks or probably this week or in a couple of days, we'll be having a new website ready for you, all blown up, so I hope you all check it out. But other than that, we'll talk to you guys same time, same place next Sunday. at 11 o'clock. And who else knows what we're going to talk about? But tune in and you'll find out. Everybody, have a good night.
Bye, everyone.